In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
Way to go, Stan.
That's not a bad shot for an old-timer. I'm Stan Hudson.
I'm John Krolinski, and we'd like to welcome you to another fun-filled episode of
Sink the Beagle, where we take a lighthearted look at the serious subject of creation evolution, where we came from, how we got here, and maybe in discovering all those things, we'll get some ideas of where we may be on the way to.
Where we're going.
Yeah.
You know, this is kind of football season, politics season, but actually it's also something else, Stan. It's the 50th anniversary of a very, what's come to be a kind of a controversial thing in America, the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah, you wouldn't think something like that, that we've all said in school for all these years, I pledge allegiance to the flag.
Wait, no, we didn't learn it that way in Wisconsin.
Well, how did
it was,
you do it?
I pledge allegiance to the Green Bay Packers and to Vince Lombardi and the Cheeseheads for which they stand and to Brett Favre and his throwing touchdowns with liberty and justice for all. Something
man,
like that.
Man, that is terrible, John. No, that is not how we learned it in Los Angeles, where, you know, the sun is shining and there's nicer air and, well, actually not. But anyway.
Wait, Stan. What does the pledge, though, have to do with creation evolution?
Well, now that's a good question. Right now, Pledge of Allegiance is being seriously debated, making it up into the Supreme Court as to whether we dare say something like one nation under God.
Oh, there's only really two phrases that are being challenged.
Okay.
Under God.
Yeah, under God, two words. And, this was added to the pledge. A pledge was already in existence, but they added that in 1954, 50 years ago, as frankly, in the era of concerns about communism and the global threat of communism, they wanted to, over against that atheistic,
godless, communistic,
they wanted
religion's
to have that.
Suppression.
And they wanted to say communism is not under the authority of God, but our nation is. And
capitalistic nation, and we are.
Yeah. Now, of course, it's the word of some recently that that's an attempt to promote religion, and maybe not everybody believes in God, and so should we require people to say the words and so forth?
Well, actually, Stan, when it really boils down to it,
and it's not a Green Bay Packers.
10% don't believe in God.
Only 10% actually even less than that, I think. And most people do believe in God, and most people are quite at home with saying it. But nevertheless, you know, laws are often drawn up to protect those individuals who might have other issues. But here's the subject. You know, we're referring a little bit to some work done by Philip E. Johnson. And you and I love Philip E. Johnson.
He is a real bright lawyer from Berkeley University.
Yes.
And he debates. He's well-versed in all the nuances and issues of the argument of evolution that is promoted in our science, in our schools, in our
Darwin on trial. He's written some wonderful books, and like you say, a lawyer,
a
professor
nice
of lawyers. Yeah. You know, at that bastion of conservatism, UC Berkeley.
Yeah. And he, I don't know how he even lynched off a campus these days.
I don't know.
But he really points out in this story if you don't have the phrase under God, that's the authority referenced in this pledge.
Mm-hmm.
What authority? What is authority then?
Mm-hmm. Which, in a way, is affected by Darwinian evolution, which is being taught in our schools, and it's really to try to teach our children that there is no authority that is responsible for us being here. There is no God as such. Science has disproved God, or at least made God inactive or not involved, and so. In that sense, that impacts creation and evolution quite a bit.
Yeah,
we are here by, one nation under chance.
You could say I pledge allegiance to Zeus or Venus or Santa Claus if you're not going to have God. I mean, that's how they kind of look at it, that God is just what really boils down to in their thinking of the evolutionary mind is that they see God as a creation of man instead of man being a creation of God.
Well, man created God in his image, according to some thinking.
Yes, and in his likeness.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, so if you believe the assumptions of scientific naturalism that that man created God rather than the other way around, it does lead to certain impacts on society. And it really boils down to, as I think, which is a very legitimate charge, under what authority?
Mm-hmm.
How do you then, if you believe in evolutionary paradigm, what right do you have to rule?
Well, if you believe that Darwin was correct in all areas of his theory and that there are no absolutes like God, we are under natural law but not under moral law. There is no moral law, no moral absolutes. All of these are just sort of the whims of man. Mankind, governments, societies create these ideas, and there's no general source of final authority.
Yeah, I guess what
works for you works for me. It's kind of sounds pretty post-modern in a way.
Yeah, as long as you don't trample on me, and everyone has their own ways. Really,
dude, you know, whatever works for you, man.
Oh, hey, man, it'd be cool. Yeah, really, the Darwinian story mm-hmm. of that we came from pond scum into pond scum we go, so to speak, really has an effect on religion and law and morality throughout all of society. I mean, at what basis then can we say somebody it's wrong to kill? I mean, who says killing's wrong? I mean, there's no authority at which to appeal saying, you know, Stan, I don't like that law about morality. Morality becomes nothing more than the whims of the tyranny of the majority, whatever that may be.
Right.
And we were kind of joking around a little bit before, but could you imagine, let's just say, for instance, that we're in this war on terror. What if Islamic fundamentalists eventually do win the war, so to speak, for mind? And North America, can you imagine North America under the mullahs?
Okay.
And under, you know, why not say they can rule? They can say Allah's God and
the Quran is to be taught
as long as they're in the majority and have the biggest muscles to enforce their will.
Well, in a sense, it'd be survival of the fittest. They won.
There you go.
They won the battles, then they should be in charge.
And maybe that's how Darwinists like to see it, because in the end, really, when everyone, if you follow Darwinism to its logical conclusion, everybody becomes their own God.
Mm-hmm.
Their own standard, and no one, you have basically a society heading toward chaos, the ultimate society of the individual, where the individual decides what he or she thinks is right or wrong, and don't you dare try to impose your thinking or religion on me.
Yeah, your religion-based morality on me.
Yeah, or your own secular-based morality. Maybe you believe that clay is a holy subject and no one can trample on clay or something really stupid, just a weird idea.
Well, Johnson talks about some of the things that he fears should the Pledge of Allegiance under God stricken from it, and he worries about the effect in American culture. One of the things that he feels it's an issue for, he believes that the public has become aware that the evidence for Darwinism is much less impressive. Than has been advertised.
Yeah, they want to claim, and we'll talk about them in some future Sync the Beagles, of just how powerful the idea is, and it's kind of almost self-fulfilling once you adopt it, and mm-hmm. you can see everything through the Darwinian glasses,
mm-hmm.
though they want to say, those aren't glasses, those are facts.
That's the truth.
That's
the reality.
Truth. That's the mm-hmm. authority.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes, but most Americans kind of look at it and scratch their head saying, wait a minute.
Yeah, still, you know, the polls are still coming in strong that despite all the Darwinian evolution that's been really kind of forced, whether it's in school or in the media, the National Geographics, the public broadcasting programming and so forth, to kind of try to convince the American public that, no, this is really the way we got here. This is really the mechanism. Darwin was right. He hit it.
You know,
despite of all that, the public opinion polls are still showing that America is unconvinced, is skeptical of the evidence, and even the scientific evidence is not, despite all advertisements to the contrary, not all that overwhelming.
Yeah, Philip Johnson cites back to when did these things start? Well, basically, he sees it as the Darwinian centennial in 1959, the centennial of Origins of Species being published.
They celebrated all of that.
And they celebrate it. And ever since then, they've used public government funds and public policy to persuade the reluctant public, really, a very Christian public, to believe in the name of science and Darwinian biological creation. And really, when you say the polls, up almost 90% of the people still believe in God and don't believe in the story of Darwinian evolution.
That is not a material evolution, although, you know, materialism, that is a godless way we got here. There's a significant number of people that do believe that, well, maybe Darwin was right, but,
on
but,
some
God,
things
but and, God was doing it, you know.
Or God started it and God uses Darwinian evolution as his method or something.
Which is a whole other issue, and we'll talk about that at a later Sink the Beagle.
Yeah, and so the whole idea is, are the biologists the priests? Do to give you your origin story? You want to go down, receive the sacrament of the dissected frog,
yes,
or something?
Yes.
I don't know.
Almighty biology professor, give us truth. Tell us how we came here.
Just give me a razor and cut that frog open, would you? Describe the parts.
Let's just stick to that.
Okay.
So the issue that that Johnson is concerned about is if Darwin's followers, disciples, win their battles in court and win the day, so to speak, on these issues, what kind of effect will it have in America? What kind of effect in the culture? And ultimately, he's concerned about the amorality that may come.
You know, when we read the Bible, it's interesting that often authority comes up. Like when you read the book of Daniel, which we happen to have been studying recently as some study guides that we had.
Uh-huh.
There was a story in that book about a king of Babylon who denied the existence of the creator God and went off to choose his own authority. In the end, he was judged and found wanting.
Yeah, and he had lots of evidence.
Lots of evidence to the contrary that the authority of God exists. It's interesting that even Jesus had a struggle with that idea of authority.
Now, we have a torpedo text there, John, don't you?
Yeah, sure. It's in the book of Matthew. Jesus was there at the temple, and these people came to him after he'd been done some miracles, and the chief priests, and they said, by what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? They were trying to trap Jesus, and so he kind of asked him a question. He said, I'll ask you one thing, too. If you tell me, then I'll also tell you by what authority I do these things. Is it the baptism of John? What was the source, from heaven or from men?
What was John the Baptist's source of authority?
Yeah, because they said, well, you know, if we say he's from heaven, he will say to us, and why didn't you believe him? But if we say he's from man, then we're in trouble because a multitude.
We're in trouble with the people if we say that.
And there's sort of that kind of wishy-washiness among the biology religionist priests, so to speak, if you want to use those terminologies, because they're asking you to believe in evolutionary biological creation. You know,
and they don't like to publicly say we're against God, we're trying to nail God.
Yeah,
you know,
because they know the 90% of the polls are still don't buy that.
They'll be stoned, yeah.
They'll be stoned. And so they kind of shy away from it. And so, you know, the whole issue is that it's faith.
Mm-hmm.
It comes down to an issue of faith. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that really is by what authority? You know, really, what is the ultimate authority for you or for me?
That's exactly right. Let's bring it right home. Who is your ultimate authority, listener? Do you operate as one person under God? You know,
are you under St. Vince, as they call it, in Green Bay area? You know?
Yeah, or some other authority or naturalism or whatever just suits you for the day. The Bible indicates to me, and certainly in the story of Jesus speaking there, that we need to be under authority. We're going to be under some kind of a model as to, you know, who's our source of ultimate truth. Why not go with a creator God who's revealed so much about who he is, how much he loves us, how he created us with his own hands, how he desires for eternal dwelling with us in fellowship?
What's worked for a nation can work for an individual if we have God as the authority.
Well, let's hope our nation still remains under God and our kids can still pledge that in school.
Yep. Tune in again to another fun-filled Sink the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time for Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.